Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. This week, Jill Stein on the predatory Republicrat Party, on how the citizens have been getting a bad deal for years, and on how change can come at the grassroots. Workers, arise, and please stay tuned. About 4 weeks back, our show featured Chris Hedges and Bernie Sanders. Hedges was speaking at a rally in Washington, D.C. on the day after Inauguration Day 2017. Today, we'll hear another voice from that same rally. Possibly it's a voice you've never heard before, the voice of Jill Stein. Since Stein was the candidate for president from the Green Party, and on the ballot in many states, how come almost nobody knows her voice? Silly question. Only voices approved by the Republicrat establishment monopoly get heard in presidential debates, on TV news programs, and alas, even on most public radio. Meanwhile, the Republicrat Neoliberal Committee gave us a pair of presidential candidates that, by every poll, was the least liked, most despised duo of political hacks ever selected. Bernie Sanders would have won the presidential election had the Democratic Party allowed him to get the nomination. But no, Wall Street wanted their loyal and trusted servant, Hillary Clinton. And what Lola wants, Lola gets. Lola being Spanish for Wall Street, I think. Anyway, by all accounts, the corporate media over-publicized Donald Trump, under-publicized Bernie Sanders, and Jill Stein. Who ever heard of Jill Stein? Well, nobody would if the corporate media had their way. And they pretty much did have their way. Jill Ellen Stein was born in Chicago in 1950. She was raised a Reform Jew. She now considers herself an agnostic. She graduated magna cum laude from Harvard College, received an M.D. from Harvard Medical School, and practiced internal medicine in the Boston area for the next 25 years. For decades, she has been active in progressive politics and in progressive organizations. She is a board member of Physicians for Social Responsibility and a member of other worthy groups. She ran for governor of Massachusetts in 2002 and 2010, but lost both times. She was the Green Party candidate for U.S. president in 2012 and 2016. This is a pretty substantial progressive resume, to my way of thinking. To my mind, that beats serving on the board of directors of Walmart and giving speeches to Wall Street fat cats for $250,000 a pop. Or was it $500,000? I remember during the campaign for the Democratic Party nomination, Hillary Clinton said words to the effect of, "Elect me president because that would be precedent-shattering, the first woman president." To this, Bernie Sanders replied, "Well, electing me president would be pretty precedent-shattering, too." I assume he meant he'd be our first Jewish president. Well, obviously, this was a false dichotomy. No need to play either-or. You could vote for Jill Stein and kill two birds with one stone. Possibly, Bernie meant not that he'd be the first Jewish president, but rather the first socialist president. But the only person who thinks Bernie Sanders is a socialist is Bernie Sanders, and perhaps the John Birch Society. Sanders is a liberal Democrat. If he's the most radical leftist in Congress, we're in very serious trouble. And indeed we are. I think Jill is to the left of Bernie, and she articulates her position with intelligence, clarity, and grace. I do think that Bernie Sanders is the best of the Democrats. That's not high praise, but it is praise. But as Jill Stein reminds us, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are two sides of the same counterfeit coin. That's my metaphor, not Jill's. Speaking in D.C. on January 21, 2017, here is Dr. Jill Stein.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Socialist Alternative and Green Party. And thanks to all of you for coming out tonight. And above all, thank you for standing up in order to unite and to fight, which is what we have to do right now. So I would say welcome to the resistance. But for most of you, you've already been here. This is not new. This is just building on what has been, you know, kind of in the cards for quite some time. And as awful, you know, despicable, scary as this moment is, at least, you know, at least the veil has come off. And, you know, whether we were heading for a slow demise, you know, being strangled by neoliberalism under the Democratic Party, or whether we are actually engaging the battle right now, facing this neo-fascist administration, we were kind of going to the same place. So, you know, I personally, you know, I find this a sobering moment, but, you know, am not feeling surprised. In fact, I'm actually a little bit surprised that there is as much clarity and as much resistance on the streets here at ground zero of the new, you know, era of the billionaire takeover. I've been very pleasantly surprised, I have to say, just being out on the streets, that people are not saying, at least where I've been, which was largely around Franklin Park yesterday, from what I saw yesterday, you know, it really felt there was such a hunger out on the streets for discussion and for talk and for just really kind of soul searching about where do we go from here. And I was really delighted not to hear, you know, well, we just got to work harder and get back with the Democratic Party and that's the solution. People are really recognizing that Donald Trump really is a symbol of this predatory, bipartisan political system brought to us by predatory banks and fossil fuel giants and war profiteers. Donald Trump is the face of that bipartisan system. And we must reject not just Donald Trump and the Republicans, we must also reject the Democrats as well. And I am encouraged by, you know, by this massive march today, by yesterday's resistance, by the walkouts from high schools and colleges across the country, by the strike of the longshoremen on the West Coast, which needs to be a symbol for us all, and I think a tactic we are going to be standing on. Lifted up and encouraged by the fight of the indigenous leaders at Standing Rock and the many fights that are following in suit against the pipelines in Memphis, in Texas, and really all around the country, that on so many fronts people are standing up for nothing short, you know, of an America and a world that works for all of us. I think we have seen that the piecemeal solutions, the window dressing on a burning house, you know, is not what unifies people, is not what brings us out, is not what engages people in struggle. We need to be really standing up for a transformative agenda that puts people, planet, and peace over profit. And nothing less than that. election, I think, was no surprise, an incredibly toxic election, which had a very toxic consequence, more degraded by big money and corporate profiteering in terms of media coverage, billions of dollars worth of free media delivered particularly to Donald Trump, with the approval and encouragement of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, that was lifting up Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and looking to make the Republican candidate as fringe and lunatic as possible in order to help Hillary's chances. You know, this was an extremely corrupt election, which was the product of corrupt politics and a corrupt media, and it produced the most disliked, untrusted candidates for president among the mainstream parties in our history. So this was not a Republican triumph, it was a bipartisan failure. The majority of Donald Trump's voters were not voting for Donald Trump. This was shown in poll after poll. Donald Trump's voters were largely voting against Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party and their track record for bailing out Wall Street, not only bailing out Wall Street, but dismantling Wall Street regulation to start with and exporting our jobs and creating wars without end that are blowing back at us. At the same time, they are depleting our budget, costing us half of our discretionary budget for these wars that have only created failed states, mass refugee migrations, and worse terrorist threats. So people were saying, we've had enough, we are rejecting both of these corrupt corporate parties. 80% of people said that they were disgusted by this election. 90% registered in a poll last spring in the midst of the election, saying 90% saying they had lost faith in our political system, in the executive, in Congress, in the judiciary, really across the board. We have had a massive rejection and repudiation of this political system. 75% of people were screaming for other alternatives in this election and were calling for open debates, which is why part of the struggle going forward is to have a people's debate commission and end this corporate controlled bipartisan scam of a debate. And 60% of people have been calling for a new major political party, and it's long past time to do that. And as well, so many people who were yearning for something else but who were intimidated by being terrified of either Hillary Clinton, because a lot of people have had it with the Democrats, or they were terrified by Donald Trump and the reality of what he represents. So we have a system in which the main question on people's minds in going to the polls was, who do you hate the most? And who are you most afraid of? And guess what? The politics of fear delivered everything we were afraid of. We need a new politics of courage going forward, and we need a voting system that actually liberates us to vote our values and not to feel constrained by our fears. We need ranked choice voting. And the state of Maine actually passed ranked choice voting, which really charts the course for us all. We can all pass ranked choice voting in every state. It doesn't require congressional legislation, and it can be done with a voter referendum, which is how it was done in Maine, because the Democratic and Republican-controlled legislatures are never going to let it out of the bag. In fact, in California, Jerry Brown recently vetoed a bill that would have allowed ranked choice voting at the municipal level. And why don't they want it? Because it would actually force their hand. They would have to fish or cut bait. They would actually have to stand up for what they're for instead of just being slightly less worse than the Republicans. They would actually have to engage in a real debate. And the reality is, they don't support us. They do not support a progressive agenda. And ranked choice voting really calls their bluff. They will not support it because they basically do not support us, the voters. And in my view, the fact that the Democratic Party has consistently fought against ranked choice voting says that they do not support us and they do not deserve your vote on that basis alone. Trump's rise to power is clearly the product of economic despair caused by the neoliberal policies of both parties. And, you know, those policies that gave us these lousy, part-time, insecure, low-wage jobs. Anybody familiar with those kinds of jobs out there? This is like 90% of the jobs that have been created since the Wall Street crash are these low-wage jobs. So people who are new in the job market, that is millennials, are really getting the short end of the stick here, which is why you don't have to be persuaded, you know, that the system is corrupt. The challenge with millennials is to just let you know that there is another option out there that actually stands up for what you need in order to survive. It's not only the jobs, it's the poverty level wages. It's that generation of young people locked into predatory student loan debt without a way out. And by the way, the number of young people locked into student loan debt alone is enough to win a three-way presidential race or a three-way race at our local levels and for legislatures and so on. And student debt is not just a national issue. It is a local and a state issue. And anyone running for office at that local or state level can actually be an advocate to your state legislature, to your college system, to reduce student the costs of student fees and tuition right now, so that we can actually run campaigns locally based on the same agenda, which have the same potential to really capture majoritarian support here. And because you're running at a local level, it is more possible to actually knock on doors, mobilize people, and to actually win these races. And I'll come back to that in a moment about where we go from here. But just to make the point that the rise of Donald Trump, yes, it has everything to do with racism and misogyny and xenophobia and all of that. But it's in times of great economic crisis that we see the dark side rising up, and we see demagogues who play us on our fears. So it's really important, I think, for us to stand up to address that crisis that has forced people to their backs against the wall, to where we are essentially engaging in blaming the victim right now. This didn't come out of nowhere. This comes very much out of the economic crisis, which we can very much lay at the feet of the Democrats every bit as much as the Republicans here. The Democrats are every bit as culpable. So, you know, I'm basically driving home that the response here, the real effective response, is not cleaving to the Democrats as the voice of opposition or as the alternative here. We are the alternative. Independent, people-powered politics under the lights of the Green Party and the Socialist Alternative. It is we, independent political parties that are not corporate sponsored, that are actually engaged right now at the local level, as Shama Sawant is, as Gail McLaughlin has been in Richmond, California, where they've also done really amazing and wonderful things. This is what you're not supposed to know about, because if you know about this, then we don't sit quiet and allow ourselves to be sidelined. And I'll just mention, back in 2002, the first time I ran for office against Mitt Romney, running for governor in Massachusetts, we fought our way into a televised debate. It took place in a TV studio, no live audience, and by giving voice to this radical progressive agenda, at that time, when things weren't as bad as they are right now, inside the TV studio, it went over like a lead balloon. But when I walked out of the TV studio, I was mobbed by the press, who told me that I had won the debate on the instant online viewer poll. And it, in a flash, made me realize we're actually not the odd man out here. We actually are the heart and soul of American values, which are to say human values, people values, workers values, women's values. That's who we are. And the corporate media and our corporate political parties may try to tell us otherwise, but you know, that's just not the case. So it's important, I think, for us to go forward from a position of strength, not from a position of apology that we are asking too much, or that, you know, aren't we being presumptuous by thinking that students should be bailed out. You know, it's only the Wall Street bankers who get bailed out, but not a generation of young people who are the victims of Wall Street. That's absolute nonsense. You know, it's time for us to bail out the students. We can afford to do that. We can afford it for Wall Street. We can afford it for young people. Great. Okay. So let me just conclude here by saying that this is a presidency, you know, whether to even call it legitimate or illegitimate, you know, shall we say there are problems with our voting system, which are longstanding, and no less in this election, but certainly this president violates our basic tenets of our Constitution, our civil liberties, our civil rights, our basic sense of justice, the War Powers Act, etc., the right of the legislature to declare war, and so on. This president stands in violation of our basic principles, our ethics guidelines, our laws around conflicts of interest. This president enters his administration with a playing field very steeply tilted against him. That's not to say he isn't capable of sending us all to oblivion with the flick of a switch. He is, but at the same time, it's important to remember how incredibly embattled this president is. His support ratings are going down by the hour. He's absolutely unprepared and unequipped to do this job. As of yesterday, they had appointed all of 29 people among the 600 executive appointments that they have to make. They don't have a clue, not even how to run a modern business, or to sit on a board of directors, which they do not have. You know, this is a sort of a family mafia running a family business, or call them an aristocracy or whatever they are. They are not capable of even administering our state. As compromised as it is, they are not up to the job. And they are going to continue failing madly, embarrassing themselves, embarrassing all of us in the world community. So they are going to be very hamstrung, there's no doubt about it, in legal challenges, constitutional challenges. This is an impeachment waiting to happen. And remember, whether there's an impeachment or not, corrupt governments have been brought down, and they've also been brought to heel. Many of us here will remember what happened under Richard Nixon, one of the most corrupt and regressive, repressive presidents in our history. We brought the troops home from Vietnam. We created the EPA, we passed the Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act, we achieved women's right to choose from a very conservative Supreme Court. We created OSHA for occupational safety and health, protection of workers. All of this we did under an extremely repressive and violent regime. We did that because, why? Our lives were on the line. Our brothers, particularly our brothers of color, but young people as well, were being sent to die in Vietnam. Well, our lives are on the line again. And whether it's from the violence against African Americans, the pending deportations of immigrants, whether it is a generation locked in debt without a future, or the meltdown of the climate, which is happening on our watch in our lifetimes, with latest climate science saying maybe we have a couple of decades before we see tens of feet of sea level rise, absolutely unsustainable for civilization as we know it. Our lives are on the line. That's extremely motivating. We have the numbers, we have the solutions, we have the power. It's time to get organized. When we stand up with the power that we do have, we can create an America and a world that works for all of us, that puts people, planet, and peace over profit. This is the time to get organized around the issues, to get organized in our communities, and to get organized fundamentally, politically, because that's where we come together to achieve critical mass, to say no to the divide and conquer regimen that they're trying to force on us to have us work on our favorite issue alone, in which we will all be divided and conquered. A political party that is a real political party is essentially a coalition over time, over issues, over geography, with a clear agenda. We have that agenda. It's an agenda for people, planet, and peace over profit. It is not an agenda of window dressing, of marginal changes around a crisis. We have a crisis. The world is going up in flames, and we are in the middle of it. But we have the numbers that it takes, and we have the vision and the passion to do it. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Let's make it happen. Thank you so much.
Back to back on New World Notes, two progressive activists who happen to be women and happen to be physicians. Last week, Dr. Helen Caldicott. This week, Dr. Jill Stein. I don't want to glorify physicians in general. An MD doesn't make you any more progressive than a barber's license does. We now have a right-wing ideologue confirmed as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Benjamin Carson, MD. A fairly distinguished pediatric neurosurgeon by trade. What's the connection between pediatric neurosurgery and housing and urban development, you cry? Well, it's obvious. Pediatric neurosurgeons tend to work in urban areas and tend to live in really nice houses. So, Carson for housing and urban development. So many of Trump's other cabinet choices were so bizarre, Dr. Carson seemed almost like a sane appointment by comparison. Actually, I know a former pediatric neurologist in Hartford, and he's a very sweet guy. Perhaps they'll appoint him Postmaster General. But I digress. Independent, non-commercial radio and video producer Wilton Vaught captured Stein's talk live, and he kindly shared the recording, which I have gently edited. Many thanks to Wilton. Find more of his work at his website, othervoicesotherchoices.com. And many thanks to you for listening. You can find more of our work at our website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. On behalf of the entire New World Notes staff, that's me, myself, and our Moscow correspondents, Mike Flynn and Jeff Sessions, on behalf of the entire staff, this is Kenneth Doust, advising illegitimi non carborundum, you are not alone, keep the aspidistra flying, and let's try to live each day as though the truth were true. Ciao.